many interesting stories in the Bible. Many of them. There's one in particular that I believe is apropos for us where we are in this path that we have chosen. This story has to do about a little baby that was born around 2,000 years ago to a couple that were not supposed to have children. Supposedly, they were too old to have children. As a matter of fact, even today, we believe the records in the Bible. Even today, it's highly unlikely for couples in their 60s or 70s to have children. But this particular couple did. The father was a rabbi, and the mother happened to be a cousin of Mary, who eventually became the mother of Jesus about 6 months later. Now, some of you may begin to wonder where we're going with this particular story. What does this story really have to do with any of us? Especially for those of us that are here for a particular reason. They're looking for a way to a better life. A better life in your relationships. A better life in your physical health. In your careers. In your homes. The list is endless. But only you know what a better life is for you. Well, this little boy, the path he chose for his life was really a path for a better life. And for those of us who are looking for this life, this may fit you. There was a practice in those days, and it's a practice that is still rather common today, that the firstborn in a family was supposed to follow the father's footsteps. For example, in today's world, children of doctors usually tend to follow a medical profession, a field, somewhere in the medical industry. Children of teachers become teachers, and on and on and on. So this little boy was introduced to a religious life. The father was a rabbi at a very early age. On a daily basis, this little boy would see the rituals and the ceremonies that were being performed in this father's church, temple. But what he saw and what he heard was not always in keeping what the little boy saw the people living. This bothered him. So much so that he began to question what his father's religion was really all about. Because the people who were participating in the rituals and in the ceremonies, to the little boy, they were nothing more than actors following a script. The little boy saw these people reading lines and going through certain motions. Lines and motions that were written for them hundreds of years before. Isn't this what many of us still do today? A little boy noticed that what people were living in their private lives had little to do with what they said and did in church. One had nothing to do with the other. I bet you've seen some of these people in your lives. Perhaps you even know them intimately. Maybe it's we ourselves who do this. The little boy's name was John. Later became known as John the Baptist. He very much wanted to follow in his father's footsteps, but he couldn't. So he followed his heart. He lived a life of devotion and commitment, not to an established organization, but to a very basic principle that today we call God. He eventually became a member of a group that believed that every individual was born to be a priest. simply waiting to be ordained from on high. This group believed that each man and woman was accountable not to the laws of an organization, but to the laws of the spirit of life. Cleanliness was highly stressed. Outwardly, these people bathed twice a day, three times a day. But that physical bathing was nothing more than symbolic of a removal of those thoughts and beliefs that were contrary to the highest and finest that life had to offer. For these people, there was a constant vigilance in cleansing the mind from anything contrary to life. These people believed that only that which is within the individual was important and significant, because what came from within the individual basically established the foundation of their human experience. In other words, the world simply reflected the individual's state of mind. Sounds like divine science, doesn't it? John did not believe that spiritual awakenings would ever come from an organization. And they don't. But only from within those individuals who chose to take charge of their thoughts. He came teaching that the very presence of God Himself was right where the individual was, at all times and in every place. And so he became a voice crying out over and over again, "Repent," which literally is translated to have a drastic change of thoughts, which is what he did. In other words, he began to change the pattern of his thought and begin to contemplate new ideas, new understandings. And with the new ideas and the new understandings came a new way of living. "Repent," he said, "for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Which means here and now. Not after you die. Not after you spend a lifetime of doing good deeds. But here and now. Even in the midst of your sin. Not once did this man ever say that something was going to happen at some point in the future, but that it was happening right now. Not after voicing so many prayers and not after so many sacrifices and denials, but that it was all a matter of lifting our eyes, placing our attention beyond a world that was expressing mankind's beliefs and opinions and attitudes. This man pointed out, and divine science teaches, that no one needs a priest or a prophet or anyone to intercede on their behalf. For each one of us is already equipped to find ourselves in the presence of God Himself when we clear out, when we wash out, when we remove. That's the real meaning of a baptism. The cleansing of everything and anything that has no place in the temple of God. Did not Paul say that each one of us was the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in us? Divine science teaches, and you probably hear it every week, that life moves from within out. That within each one of us is the very substance of answered prayer, of the health that we see, of the peace that we so desperately long for, and for the harmony which we all desire in our environments. Literally, within each one of us is an inexhaustible substance out of which all things are made. The place, and it's not even a place, this particular dimension of life is not a place, but a state of consciousness. It is within us, not in the physical body, but as an awareness that goes far beyond description, where nothing contrary to God can be found. No fear of anything, no lack or limitation of any kind, but a presence of perfection and wholeness that is forever saying, I am, and besides me, there is none. And divine science teaches that it is through prayer that we find ourselves in this presence. But not the kind of prayer that we were taught as children, as we were growing up. Most of those prayers that we voice even today were just words that were given to us to memorize and to repeat when we were told to do so. But now we are beginning to repent. We are beginning to change our thinking. For example, Paul tells us that in God we live and that we move and that we have our being. Hundreds of years later, a poet came telling us that this God was closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. Therefore, prayer is not a reaching out. Prayer is not something that we say or do, but a presence that is felt and experienced. Prayer has nothing to do with words. Words that were written thousands of years ago. But a sense of at-one-ment. Prayer is a union. Prayer is a unity, a oneness. Prayer is establishing such an intimate relationship with the presence that is constantly saying, be still and know that I am God. And it is when that presence is felt and experienced that answered prayer begins to pour itself into our personal lives. There are many people who believe in religious organizations, and that's all well and good. Some people need structure. They need to be told what to do and when to do it, or what not to do. But a strictly religious life goes far beyond the rules and regulations. It transcends organizations. Let me share something with you. A religious life, and I'm not talking about a spiritual life, but about the life of men and women who go to church on a regular basis and try to live according to that particular church's teachings. This particular life is like a pregnancy. You can't hide it for very long. Let me explain. If you're the type of individual who loves life, who loves people, who loves getting up in the morning and going to work and meeting people left and right and wishing them well and truly mean it. You can't hide this. You can't hide it for very long at all. Your very presence, your very actions will reflect your most basic and fundamental state of mind. It shows in the look in your eye. And in the glow in your face, and in the way you walk and carry yourself, that's your religion. All you have to do is look at how people live. Don't listen to what they say, but at how they live their lives. One of my favorite authors, over 90 years ago, wrote a little book containing something like around 26 essays based on the different facets of life. The little book is about a wise old man who gathered the people together from his village. And he began to talk to them about work and about eating and drinking. He talked to them about crime and punishment, and about friendships, and about love, and about pain. He talked to them about marriage and about children. And he talked to them about beauty. And after he touched on all of these things and about 15 or 16 other facets of life, a villager interrupted him and asked that he talk to them about religion. And this man responded by saying, "I have spoken of nothing else but religion." Religion is our every deed. It's our every action. Religion is our every word. Religion is our every thought and every belief that we live out here in the world. What we do and do not do, and what we say and do not say, these are the rituals and ceremonies of our personal religion. And it has little to do with any organization. We, each one of us, even now, are the living embodiments of our church, of our religion, because we ourselves are the temples and the priests and the rituals and the ceremonies of our religion. Religion is far more than personal and intimate activity within us than anyone has ever imagined. Religion is not a label. Calling ourselves Catholics doesn't make us so. Calling ourselves Jews doesn't make us so. Calling ourselves divine scientists doesn't make us so. What we live out here in the world is what we are. It's our sense of identification. In divine science, we call it consciousness. Individual consciousness. And so whether life is pleasant or unpleasant does not matter. Life can only mirror what we have chosen to accept in consciousness. Every now and then I venture out of my home, find myself at a Home Depot most of the time, or in a mall, mostly in restaurants. Since there are no cooks in our household. And sometimes you can't help but notice the frustrations and the fears and even the anger and the loneliness on the faces of so many people. And you can't help but wonder what happened to these individuals. To find themselves so totally removed from a sense of love and happiness and beauty and joy. Totally cut off from life. People go to churches. They go to priests and rabbis and ministers. People join support groups, single groups. They take up hobbies. Looking for answers. For a way out of their very personal and intimate predicaments. But they seek in vain. For what they seek comes from within. The great secret is that wherever there is an individual, wherever there is an individual, the full and complete Spirit of God is there. With all of its wisdom, all of its love, and all of its power. Our challenge for each one of us here this morning, individually, is to feel and to experience that which is holy and sacred and in the midst of us all. The Lord God Almighty. And it is here. at this very moment of realization that the words of Paul are fulfilled. Ye are the temple of the living God. No longer a temple of an unknown God, but a temple of a living God, right where we are. This is such a radical departure from the religious organization that so many of us were brought up in. Not only were we brought up to be good and honest and charitable, but that we attend church regularly and that we contribute generously. And as if this wasn't enough, the society at large is telling each one of us that success is dependent on physical strength and good looks, that we are to dress appropriately and smell nice, that our successes in life are dependent not only on degrees and titles, but on understanding the ever-evolving technology of the day. And so it is that we have to have that new gadget that comes down the pipe. We've been sold on this. Look at the commercials. Look at the ads. In other words, we are constantly being bombarded to look outside of ourselves for the good life. I say to you this morning, we are not robots. No one has ever pre-programmed us for success or for failure. No one is programmed for prosperity or for poverty. Not for misery or happiness. I say to you this morning, I just wish I could open your heads and put this in it. Be your own man. Be your own woman. For none of us is subject to anyone else's interpretation of life. You're not responsible for what the person sitting next to you believes. Not at all. Think your own thoughts. Feel your own feelings. Do what John did. People are free to think whatever they wish to think, but that has nothing to do with you. I love that statement in Scripture. What is that to thee? Which is why divine science teaches that each one of us is a law unto ourselves. There are people who consider the kingdom of heaven as a way to a better human existence. And that's all they want, a better human existence. But what many people have yet to understand is that these qualities of life, whatever they are for each one of us, are not being withheld from any of us. No one has ever given us these qualities, nor anyone has ever withheld these qualities. In the very quality we seek, as a matter of fact, in that quality we live and we move and we have our being. I know that just about all of you are going to agree with me when I say to you that a novel, a bestseller, is always first in someone's mind before we ever see it out here in the world in print. A gun, a purse, the inside of a home. They are all first in a designer's mind before we see it in expression. And the same is true for the health in a body, for the harmony in a relationship, for the peace in someone's mind. Life moves from within out. At this very moment, we live in an infinite substance that is constantly pouring itself as answered prayer through every mind in the world, to be molded and shaped according to each one of those minds. But there's not enough room to receive the fullness of the substance when those minds are filled with so very limited beliefs and opinions and attitudes. Which is why Paul tells us not to settle for what is happening at the moment, but that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Which is what John said, repent. The mind of the moment that is filled filled with beliefs and opinions and moods and attitudes and convictions. This is the old man that is to be set aside. In a religious life, we are always looking to get something from outside of ourselves. But this is not true in a spiritual life. It's all a matter of getting a new mind. Because in a consciousness imbued with truth, each one of us is already equipped to prosper and to bless and to harmonize our environments. I say to you this morning that we are not going to get any more of God than what we have at the moment. God has already fulfilled himself in us. Not tomorrow or the next day, but now. Here and now. Be still and know. As if to say, I am come that ye might be fulfilled, that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundant. Very reluctantly, I'm going to say to you this morning that many of us are not going to become more spiritual because of this lesson. But I would like to think that this lesson might begin to change your thinking. Or as Paul said, to repent. Let me leave you with this thought. We just recited the statement of being. There was a line that says, man is the individualized expression of God's. What this means is that our relationship with God is identical to the relationship a branch has to a tree. All the qualities of that tree is in that branch. That branch draws from the tree all that is necessary to bear leaves and blossoms and fruit. But separate and apart from that tree, that branch is going to wither and die. I hate to say this, but most of us are that branch at the moment. So I say to you that regardless of what you're going through at the moment, it really doesn't matter. That's not important. What is important is that we reconnect to the tree. Because every struggle, I don't know what you're going through, but every struggle, every problem, every conflict can only be resolved in consciousness. And so it is that to the extent that the branch abides in the tree and allows the tree to abide in it, to that extent that branch becomes the individualized expression of the tree. And as we begin to practice this truth, that I am the individualized expression of God, that all that the Father has and is mine, we will begin to see a change in our lives, not only in the way we see things, but in the way we begin to live. Because what is actually happening is that our minds are being made new. And behold, a new life appears, and the former shall no longer come to mind. So we make this lesson practical. I'm quite sure that for the next few moments, each one of us is capable of removing, of cleansing, of washing out every thought that we have ever entertained in consciousness. I believe that we are all capable, as the Master taught us, to take no thoughts, to be still, that we too may feel and experience that source of infinite substance that is already pouring itself through each one of us. So for the next few moments, let us be still. still in mind and still in our hearts. And let us allow God to be God in His holy temple, which temple you are. And with all of my heart, and with all of my strength, I say, speak, Lord. Touch me. Reveal yourself that I too may be worthy of being your child. Loving, forgiving, and blessed. For the revelation of this understanding, O most gracious God, I give you thanks. And so it is that the Lord blesses you and keeps you. And so it is that the Lord shines His love upon you and is gracious unto you. For He lifts your consciousness and gives you peace. Amen.